This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm jotting down some of these nicknames, Seth, because I'm going to put a poll up later on today, I think.
I'm going to put up a poll later, too, but that's more because of the testosterone
Mine's
therapy.
Mine's a Twitter poll. I don't want to know. We don't need anything overly descriptive from you.
So, yeah, we were getting... This is what always happens when we ask for suggestions. Two things happen. One, we get way more good ones than we're prepared to handle.
Yeah.
All of a sudden. Two is I always feel worse about myself because you asked me to come up with a nickname for the trick play from the other night, and I was completely blanked. And immediately, like 20 people that are way funnier than
send
me
in,
came up with
send
good
in,
stuff.
Well, they're not way funnier.
So stop making
you.
Me feel bad about
They've
myself.
Just
everybody
had a chance to think about it, and they're not doing live radio at the time.
Yeah.
They're probably sitting at a Starbucks.
That's true. I'm better than all of them.
Yeah, you're better than
That's
all.
That's right.
Of them. Yeah. Except for the ones that support our sponsors, in which case they are better than you, Seth. Let's see here. We're getting an explanation on the annexation of Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
It's a trick play from Little Giants.
Okay, so I feel better.
That texter is getting a lot of love from other texters.
I didn't. So, and it makes perfect sense because in Little Giants, right, that's the kid's suggestion
to Rick
for the
Moranis.
Trick play.
Yeah.
And Rick Moranis, who would be the equivalent of Bill O'Brien. Sorry, Bill O'Brien. I'm not,
Boy, that's
Look, Bill, you're way better than Rick Moranis in a lot of ways, okay? I don't even know where the hell Rick Moranis is right now. So they convince Rick, and Rick Moranis allows them to run the play. So that's exactly what happened.
7-1-3 sweep right. I kind of like that one because it sounds like an actual football play. The point being 7 points on one snap with three different players touching the ball.
It sounds like Don Coryell could have come up with that play.
7-1-3 sweep
right. Okay, so wait, 7 points, three different players touch the ball.
Right.
Okay.
So yeah, and saying obviously 7-1-3.
It's run to the right usually if it's – okay, good. I like that.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see. The New England Purchase.
I came up, you know,
that would be great if they had run it against the Saints in week one, the Louisiana Purchase.
Speaking of historical references, there were so many jokes I wanted to make last week about the flu coming down here. Like in a time of Thanksgiving when we have these New Englanders coming down with their diseases.
All their infections.
To this area.
Mayflower arriving?
Yeah, none of these will really be in good taste.
No.
I had jokes about distributing flu blankets and all this. I just didn't want to use any of them. It would have been tasteless.
10 years too late.
Yeah. No, they would have been tasteless 10 years ago. We just wouldn't have had any. Nobody would have said anything.
Yeah,
about
no,
it.
There wouldn't have been as much blowback for them. So yeah, keep sending them in 713-572-4610. Rick Moranis left Hollywood to take care of his sick wife. You animal.
Oh God.
Is that true?
I probably shouldn't be laughing about it.
We assume that when a star falls off the grid, they either left because of a drug addiction or they're into Amway or selling insurance or something.
By the way, that is one of the best.
You animal.
I did the same thing to the Schwab. Remember the Schwab?
Howie Schwab.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I made some joke about like,
I've met him before.
No use for the Schwab anymore. And I said something about computers. And then it turns out he has a very sick wife,
She's
too.
Passed away since then. Yeah.
Well, even worse, Seth Payne.
Yeah.
So I felt awful about that. And then afterwards, I thought, like, I shouldn't have felt. I was ignorant. I didn't know anybody.
Yeah, you didn't know.
If I knew it, made a joke about it.
If you play on a public stage, these things are going to. And I'm not talking about you playing. If you're a figure that is a public figure, then there's just naturally going to be times people say things that are not completely educated.
So Rick Moranis, the man who, if you had told me, well, his career just kind of trailed off, I would have said, like, well, it makes sense. I mean, what's Rick Moranis really?
He had a serious shelf life vibe to him.
Yeah.
Right? Like Strange Brew, Parenthood.
Except he was a talented actor. Like, character actors
Honey,
make it
I
a
shrunk
long
the kids.
Time.
Yeah.
If you're, like, he could have kept doing that.
I would have guessed he's at a Comic-Con somewhere this week. That's sort of the rejuvenation blueprint for a lot of those Hollywood folks. they wind up getting paid $5,000 or $6,000 to sign autographs and pose with people who watched their movies 30 years ago.
Rick Moranis, stage
you
name.
Doing a, you doing a wiki lookup on Rick Moranis?
Yeah, I feel awful now about his wife. Oh, I guess his wife died, apparently.
Okay.
So, oh, no, she died in 1997.
Okay, well, he's not caring for her anymore.
He began a long break from acting to dedicate his time to his two children as a widower. Well, if that's the case, then that was over 20 years ago.
He's had time to get back into acting if he wants to.
Yeah, well, yeah. He probably... But again, Rick Moranis isn't going to step back in and be like, hey, we need somebody for the sequel right. to The Notebook.
Right.
How
it's
about
either
you,
Tom Hanks
Rick Moranis?
Yeah. Or Rick Moranis. Yeah, we need someone to play Mr. Rogers. It's either Tom Hanks or Rick Moranis. All right. The Boston TD Party is coming in as a name for the trick play.
Oh,
not
I like
bad.
That. I like all these. Yeah. I like these kind of historical ones.
Yeah. The problem is with a Patriot-specific name, we would like for them to use this play once again. That's why the Philly Special was a cool name.
Mm-hmm.
It's because the Eagles used the play, and they could use it again. But
oh, well, now, apparently, Deshaun or somebody else said that the name starts with an A, but they can't fill in the blank. So
because it's dirty?
I guess so. So
really?
I would guess it's ass something. Okay. I don't know where...
So they have a name for it.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. Well, obviously they have a name for it. I mean, they called it... It has a play name, but it's probably got one of those... You know, overly football-y type of things.
Yeah.
Like John Gruden likes to say.
I'm gonna have to
we
do
need
this.
A nickname.
All right, I'm gonna have to go to the open locker room tomorrow and find out. Somebody, I'll get somebody to tell me off the record what it
yeah,
was.
Yeah, for sure. And then you bring it on the show.
Yeah. If they don't, I'll make it up and right. fake news it my
yeah.
way through it.
You can yeah. do that easily. Yeah,
sure, sure.
You're a good actor. You're the Rick Moranis of this talk radio show. So there was a story over the weekend, Seth, that we didn't get to dig much into it either on the pregame or yesterday. But Ian Rapoport. Saying that the Texans are not planning to hire a general manager in 2020. I think a lot of folks were still wondering if Nick Caserio was still in play. We talked about it with John McClain last Wednesday when he was on with us, and he said point blank, you heard it on a promo running last week, that he thinks Caserio is still coming here. The report by Rapoport is the headline is Texans not planning to hire a general manager for 2020 season. Now, plans can change, obviously, along the way. But I guess, first of all, do you buy into this report that the Texans are going to be rolling with no general manager in 2020 when training camp rolls around next season? Will the Texans have somebody with the title of general manager?
This is what's bothered me a little bit about the reaction to that report. I've seen a lot of really intelligent people that I respect say, well, of course, everybody knew that they weren't going to hire Caserio at this point because yada, yada, yada. Listen, as soon as Brian Gain was fired, from that moment until right now, are you going to sit there and honestly tell me with a straight face that anything that's happened has been predictable or completely and totally makes sense? No. Bill O'Brien himself has said that the Texans have a situation that is unique to the NFL. Nobody predicted it. Nobody thought, oh, you know what they're probably going to do is explain that it's a flat organizational structure.
Right, right.
Not a damn person. So I'm not going to sit here right now and pretend that I have the confidence to know whether or not Nick Caserio will not get hired. I would say that I think some of the arguments for why it's so obvious that Nick Caserio wouldn't come here, I don't really buy into those arguments.
What like, are those arguments?
Okay, well, hey, why would he leave New England where they're perennial champions to come to somewhere else if the structure is the same, if he doesn't have the ultimate and total power?
And your counterpoint?
Oh, I didn't realize Tom Brady's going to be awesome for the next 15 years. I didn't realize that was the deal, okay? So there's that, for one. Two, it's that lots of people leave New England. Usually it's for a step up, obviously. I think at the very least, in case, in as far as how Caserio is treated, maybe perhaps what kind of controller say he has or how much influence he feels he has with Bill Belichick, that there's kind of a ceiling there, isn't there? There's kind of like, this is what it's going to be. Bill Belichick's always going to be the guy. I would imagine he might feel like if he comes to Houston, it's more of a collaboration. Even though Bill O'Brien ultimately has control or power, most likely, that it would be more collaboration. They'd more be on equals, and that maybe Nick Caserio feels like, hey, I'm actually progressing in the world versus being kind of pigeonholed to where I am. And Nick Caserio was there from year two with the Patriots. Has Nick Caserio gotten any credit for them winning their Super Bowls?
That's the one I was just going to say.
Yeah.
There is a big pile of future credit to be grabbed by somebody here if and when this team takes the step to where they're on that level of team, where they're getting to a Super Bowl, winning a Super Bowl. There is they can go win five more Super Bowls in New England. Nick Caserio's never going to get the credit that he deserves, nor has he probably gotten the credit that he feels like he has deserved in these in this recent run of Super Bowls. That part I agree wholeheartedly with. There's a human nature part of this where we want to be told how great we are at our job. We want to be told you are the reason why. And the fact of the matter is the Texans have never achieved to that level. And when somebody gets injected into the situation, they're going to be inherently, especially someone in as important a position as he would have, even with O'Brien as the guy who has the final say on things, if they do take that next step and he's the difference that's been injected into the situation, it's logical that people would look at him as sort of the missing piece to the whole thing.
And I wonder, too, even if you think of from a career-building standpoint, Caserio could look at this as a leapfrogging scenario, too, where, look, the GM offers have not been cascading or flooding in, even though teams did want to interview Nick Caserio before he got his last deal with the Patriots. So he was a candidate. Whether it would end up being GM of the Texans or somewhere else, at this point, I leaned, as I was before this Ian Rappaport announcement, I was leaning more towards Nick Caserio not coming here for all of those reasons. But to sit here and act like it's a done deal and because obviously he wouldn't come here, I think there's plenty of reasons for Nick Caserio to come here. Yeah. I don't think he is going to. I just, for the life of me, I don't know why people have this need to feel like they authoritatively know what the hell's going to happen with the Texans front office when it's been such a wild card for 6 months.
The take where I scratch my head the most that I saw on this story from over the weekend, the reaction to it, and we're talking about the Ian Rappaport story from over the weekend about the Texans, quote, not planning to hire a GM in 2020, was Florio's reaction to it, to where he talks about the Texans going into the offseason with Deshaun Watson's contract likely at or near the top of the list of priorities, and I think it's going to be. That somehow going into the offseason without somebody with the title of general manager is going to really, really hinder the Texans in putting a contract together for Deshaun Watson. And I just shake my head at that because I'm going, okay, well, the one thing that I think that I feel most comfortable about with the GM committee is the contractual part of it. Mm-hmm. The player valuation part of it, you know, that there's no GM, that scares me a little bit, you know, in terms of, you know, the evaluation, the draft, you know, this is uncharted territory going into a draft with no GM. Chris Olsen's been in this building going back for years and years. He goes back to well into the Rick Smith era of putting contracts together. And I think of all the things the Texans have done over the last few years in constructing this roster, one thing that they've done really well is put contracts together that make a lot of sense vis-a-vis the salary cap. So I don't have any worries that whatever contract Deshaun Watson ends up signing is going to be one where Texan fans look at it, the Texans look at it, Deshaun looks at it, and everybody looks at it and says, this is a fair deal for what Deshaun Watson means to this team.
The thing that I like about the GM committee so far is there's a little bit of a, I guess the analogy I might make is Ronald Reagan during the Cold War, where Ronald Reagan did some things that government insiders would have said were dumb and don't try this, or why are you even thinking that you could end the Cold War? Ronald Reagan it was almost like his ignorance of what you're allowed to do or what you could do helped him to do an incredible thing, which was form this relationship with Gorbachev and take down the Soviet Union in a nonviolent fashion. There was a government, people would say, like, I never saw somebody who knew so little accomplish so much. There's a little bit of that to where sometimes, you know what, Bill O'Brien did some things that I think a lot of career GM types might have said, well, no, that's not the way you operate. That's not the way you do it.
Right.
And it might work out. It might just work out because he did some things and maybe saw draft value differently than other people did. It might blow up in his face still. There's still time.
Yeah.
But it might be just that nice little window of 1 or 2 years where you did something that people said you shouldn't have done. But I kind of like the idea of somebody like Caserio coming in and maybe guiding it back a little bit towards operating on a normal basis.
Yeah. Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. So Josh Shaw.
Oh, yeah, Josh Shaw.
NFL player. And when I saw this story over the weekend, Seth, I'm like, man, please don't set the gambling movement back, Josh Shaw.
Gambling movement.
My people are finally getting their due out in society, and you're setting the movement back by going and betting on NFL games as a player.
Gambling movement.
It's a movement.
What do you do? Are you doing your part
for the movement?
The Supreme
Court has finally acknowledged my people.
I love the thought of that people. Like, Yeah, sure, you have great movements in history. You have a fight for Indian independence with Gandhi. And then you have the civil rights of the 1960s. And then, of course, and then you've got a bunch of guys in shiny suits and too much jewelry
We've been persecuted for years. Yeah. And we're finally getting treated as equals.
Yeah.
And Josh Shaw goes and flushes it all down the toilet by being an NFL player betting on a game.
You guys have had to gamble away your life savings under the table, where now you can do it above the table.
Finally do it out in the open. And raise our children to go do it as well, proudly. So Josh Shaw, in case you're not up to speed on the story, is a defensive back for the Arizona Cardinals who has been on injured reserve all year long. And he hasn't been on the team. He hasn't played since signing with the Cardinals in March. So he got put on injured reserve with a shoulder injury in August. He hasn't been around the team. And a couple of weeks ago, November 10th, so that would be the weekend. That was the weekend the Texans were on a bye week. He went to Las Vegas with some friends to Caesars, the sports book, and which I highly recommend. It's a really good sports book at Caesars. And he placed some bets on some NFL games, and which you're not allowed to do. We could say that that's the whole story.
Yeah. They tell you, every year they have somebody from the FBI come visit and be like, hey, guys, don't be an idiot. These are all the different ways gamblers will try to get you to gamble on
fixed games. Yeah. And everything else, all the warnings that come with it. But at the very baseline, it is in the standard player contract. You are not to bet on NFL games. And Josh Shaw went and bet on NFL games in Vegas. So that could be the entire story. And by the way, his punishment as of right now, suspended for the rest of this season, suspended for the entire 2020 season. He is appealing. I do think in reading this story, and we'll dig into some of the details, I don't think there was anything big picture going on here where Josh Shaw was using inside information to try to win a bet or anything. I just think Josh Shaw is a really, really stupid individual. And it goes back to his days at USC. He was a defensive back at USC. And if you remember his story, if you don't, just to refresh, Josh Shaw hurt his ankles jumping out of a building because he was in a domestic dispute with his girlfriend at the time and the cops were on the way. Well, he lied about that to... He lied about it publicly. He lied about it to the team. He lied about it. He said he was he hurt his ankles jumping out of a building because he was rescuing his nephew who was drowning at the
time. But this was one of those, if I can remember it correctly, because you kind of told it in reverse fashion. The story came out that he had rescued his nephew from drowning first, and it was almost...
He was hailed as like a hero.
Yeah, yeah. So, and then I hadn't even remembered the second part of it, that he was exposed as a fraud after that.
Yeah.
I kind of started, when I saw his name, I was like, oh, wait a second. He's the guy that rescued that drowning kid, wasn't it? So that part of it actually kind of worked out a little bit.
See, that's classic. That is the classic case of media where you read the headline and that's 90% of what gets buried into your subconscious. So Josh Shaw has a history of stupidity. So that he bet on an NFL game is really dumb. Here are the parts of this story that piling on make it even dumber. Reportedly, he thought that the Supreme Court ruling in 2018 that gave states the right to legalize sports betting in their individual states, which has now happened in, I think, 19 or 20 states have now legalized sports gambling. He thought that meant NFL players could bet on games. That the Supreme Court ruling allowing states to make sports betting legal, that meant it was legal for him to bet on sporting events.
Yeah, that's the old confusion between what's legal and what's allowed.
Right,
yeah,
and you made a great analogy yesterday when we briefly brought this story up in headlines.
I don't even remember.
About weed.
Oh, yeah, when they legalized it in Washington and California, now a bunch of different states, the NFL had to tell players,
awesome.
Yeah, like, listen, buddy, no, it's still illegal. Well, remember, who was the player that got, it was, yeah, never mind. There was a player that was like taking pictures on his Instagram of being in a dispensary because he was in a legal state beforehand, and they had to say,
"You're about to get tested, buddy."
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's number one. Reportedly, Seth, he filled out an application. This is Josh Shaw, filled out an application for a player's card at Caesars. For those who aren't into the wagering arts, if you are a frequent casino goer, it's a smart thing to sign up for what's called a player's card. So when you sit down at a table or you place a bet at the sports book, you give them your player's card, you accumulate points for the amount that you gamble, and the more points you accumulate, the more the more comps you get, the mm-hmm. more free things that you get. Maybe you get your hotel room comped. Maybe you get a free buffet. If you bet a whole lot, they'll pepper you with all kinds of offers to get you back
so
in the
like
door.
It's like frequent flyer miles.
It a little bit. Okay. A little bit. Here's the problem. When he filled out the application for occupation, he put NFL player. And these casinos are in bed with the NFL when it comes to stuff like it. Caesars has a marketing agreement with the NFL. So that's how he got made in this whole thing. That's how he got dimed out.
It's somebody we got an issue here. Because the casino doesn't want to be linked to it.
Right.
They become like a college team self-reporting, right?
Yes.
They're like, all right, look, we got to be sure that we report this 100%. Before anybody else comes and acts like we were being shady.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So he put NFL player. I admire his honesty.
Well, this is where I think he's going to – I think ultimately he ends up getting off based on how stupid he was about all of this.
Yes.
That it was – because – no, but this part – I didn't realize this last part. You haven't mentioned the part about who he gambled on yet, right?
No.
Okay. This is the clincher. This is where – and it's the worst thing he did. It's by far the worst thing he did, except by now he's established that he's so stupid that I think it actually helps him get off because it was so stupid.
He bet on a game involving the Arizona Cardinals. He bet against the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah.
He placed a three-game parlay with three second-half bets on late games that day, and one of them was the Cardinals and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He bet against the Cardinals to cover the second half spread in that game, which, by the way, he lost his parlay because of that. The Cardinals actually did cover the second half spread in that game.
That worked out for him, at least. Like, which he doesn't still to this day understand, I'm guessing. Like, it would have been, he probably doesn't even realize that if they hadn't covered, that would have been a worse look for him, too. Because then it would have looked like, oh, wait, well, maybe he had something to do with it, or he did have inside information.
Right, right. That's a really good point.
Yeah.
So he bet against his own team. This story is just so soaked in stupidity.
Right. Well, like, even Pete Rose wasn't dumb enough to bet against his team.
Right.
He bet on them to win.
He did.
Which I frankly think should be encouraged. I think more guys should
It's going to make him do his job.
Yeah,
better.
Exactly.
He'll be more focused.
I think they should require everybody to bet on your own team beforehand.
I'm telling you right now, I am way better at this job when I'm betting on games.
Yeah.
Because I'm more focused on the outcome of game. I'm more dialed in on the
But if you're a player and you bet on your team to win, then it's actually even more incentive too versus betting on them to lose or to not cover. What the hell?
Yeah. So he obviously wasn't playing in the game. He was in a casino in Vegas. But just the optics. Like, how do you feel if you're one of his teammates? Like, oh, thanks, bro. Thanks for betting against us, against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, one of the other really crappy teams in the NFL.
Yeah, him putting down NFL player on that card, I think, is his best evidence. Obviously, he wouldn't. If he had known he was doing something wrong, he would have at least tried to hide that.
Gamblers would tell you him doing it in a parlay as well is an indicator that he wasn't really fixing anything.
Uh-huh.
Because if you're fixing something, you're only betting on that thing. You would never attach other wagers to it that would impact the outcome of that.
Plus, my blanket advice in any of this and all of this and almost every scandal is you were drinking at all or perhaps even on any other substance, be sure you accentuate that. Our society is very forgiving, as they should be, of people with drug and alcohol issues.
Yeah.
You want to get them help. Be sure that you point that out, that this was, I've got issues.
Yeah, you'll be hailed as a rehabilitated hero.
Dude, if you're a stone-cold, sober gambler, you're screwed because then you're operating in your right frame of mind.
Yeah. He hasn't been around the team all season. Seth, what's the norm in the NFL for guys who are on injured reserve, say, starting in August, but are still with the team? Like, when they say, like, he's not been around the team
Some guys go and do the rehab at home or elsewhere, and sometimes it depends on what your status is with the team.
Is it normal for guys who are put on IR, still employed by the team, to not be around the team
sometimes
at all?
Okay. Yeah, sometimes. But then it's almost as if it's you weren't going to make the team anyway or they let you know that they were planning to move on from you. Some guys will get put on IR as part of getting released from the team.
Okay.
So it's not completely abnormal.
Well, he's still getting a paycheck from the Cardinals.
Right. Yeah. But because he's on IR.
Yeah.
But it's not your best way to stay in the good graces.
Yeah.
Usually guys stick around and do their they're not happy about it. Unless they already look, this guy might be so dumb that the team had already moved on from
him. They're just paying, he's just getting a check.
It's not like if you say though that a guy wasn't around, that doesn't necessarily raise a lot of
red flags. Gotcha. So so a scale of 1 to 10, the stupidity, the Pain and Pendergast stupidity scale on this one. I give it a solid 11.5.
on a scale of 1 to 10.
Yeah.
I don't know, because he does, I mean, he's literate and everything. Sometimes when you, yeah. Like, I mean, like, come on, we got, where are we putting the bar for stupidity here? There's some pretty, he did manage to.
I would say compromising a multi-million dollar occupation is a pretty good start.
I get intimidated figuring out some of these parlays. The fact that he even had the guts to do a parlay, I kind of.
Again, or the stupidity to do a parlay.
Yeah, yeah. I think that also when he filled out NFL player on that card, have you ever filled out some of these, when you're filling out forms electronically, and they ask you to put your profession. I had a credit application for this once, and they don't, like, not everybody's job is on there.
Right.
Like, there's no, I always end up doing.
Do you do other?
I've done, you know what, I sometimes I'll just do, like, doctor or something, or professional. I go for the most prestigious one, since radio host, and particularly sports radio host, isn't on there. Yeah, I just go for, what would I want to be? Yeah. Oh, I'm an architect.
Yeah, architect.
Or a city planner.
I put raconteur. Just see what happens.
Yeah, that's not usually one of the.
It's not. It's not one of the choices, but if I can, if they let me fill it in, I put raconteur.
Where is minstrel on here anyway?
All right. An NFL player, speaking of radio appearances, an NFL player hung up on the hosts on his weekly radio appearance. We've got the audio. We'll let you be the judge, and we'll judge as well. Was he right to do so? We've got that. We've got headlines coming up as well. We've got a Stern Talk that's coming up tomorrow that you can win tickets to at 13 past each hour. Clint Sterner is going to break down the film from the Texans' win over the Patriots, explain how the Texans are playing well right now. Really, really cool event. Clint does a great job with these. VIP tickets you can win going to sportsradio610.com/live to register or be listening for the cue to call at 13 past each hour at Stern Talk Live, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, exclusively from Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. We will hit some headlines here in just a minute. So, Seth, you and I don't have a weekly hit with any NFL players on this on our show.
No, we don't.
It would be fun to have one. I bring this up because Akeem Hicks is a linebacker for the Chicago Bears.
It's always, sometimes it's fun to have him, sometimes it's not.
Depends on the player.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Back in the day, John Harris and I used to have, we would flip-flop back and forth during the season on Mondays. One week it would be Anthony Weaver, and then the next week it would be David Anderson.
Uh-huh.
Those were two really good guys to have on
the
show.
Right.
They were excellent guys.
Did you guys, with Weaver, did you have to fight the urge to make it about Notre Dame football for half the segment?
Not really, because Notre Dame stunk when Anthony Weaver was. It was 2007 and 2008, right in the heart of the Charlie Weiss era.
Yeah,
so we steered clear of that topic.
Some radio hosts wouldn't have mattered though. You would have somehow figured out a way to make it about the coaching search for the next for the Charlie Weiss replacement.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe I'm having selective memory here.
Yeah.
Maybe there were times that we did. But it was not exactly a great time to revel in being from under the Golden Dome. But Weaver was a great guest. David Anderson, who spent many, many hours on this station through the course of his post-playing career, was, as you can imagine, a very, very good guest as well. So you're right. When they're good guests, I would imagine if you were a player and you had a player show back in the day, Seth Payne, you would have been a fun player to have on the show. Except if it were the post-game show right after a loss, where John Granato is trying to give you a gift card of some sort.
Yeah, that's what you would have got, which would have made it a good show.
Yeah.
If I would have come on and done that for a full 10 minutes every or 15 minutes.
Well, except you got to hit the dump button and we wouldn't be able to hear any of it. It would have been a cool one to stream.
I had opportunities to do shows like that and I never wanted to do it as a player just specifically for that reason.
How come?
After losses.
Yeah.
I remember, Tiki Barber once got in hot water for criticizing Michael Strahan in the middle of Michael Strahan's holdout. And he gave an answer where somebody asked him about it. He said, well, like, I have to say that, otherwise I'd be being dishonest with you guys. Like, no, there is the option of just being boring. Like, you don't always have to answer everything. So I always felt I didn't want to do one of those shows because after a loss, I felt like I'd have to be boring. And I don't want to be boring.
Well, I think we now know that Tiki was probably angling for some bigger things after
football. Right, right, yeah.
You know?
But anyway, so Akeem Hicks from the Chicago Bears does a weekly show up in Chicago.
With Waddle and Sylvie. I think it's the midday show on ESPN 1000 up there. I used to listen to that station when I lived up there. Tom Waddle's a former wide receiver for the Chicago Bears back in the 80s. So he's a former NFL player, and he's actually the voice that you're going to hear that gets under Akeem Hicks' skin with what I think was a misunderstanding.
So when we join in here, Akeem Hicks is imploring the fans to support the team instead of hating on them.
I think it's from right before the Thanksgiving
to
game.
His very receptive, accommodating hosts that have a good relationship with him.
That's right. Here you go.
Off the bandwagon. Ride with us. We're down right now. We know that. And we're fighting to get back up. So roll with us. We didn't do this on purpose. We didn't try to get ourselves in the situation. But we're doing everything that we can to climb out of this hole. So be supportive.
You mean you didn't put your arm in between those two Raiders and it popped out a joint on purpose? I'm joking.
Hey, that's a joke?
No, that's why I said I'm not joking.
That's a joke?
No, I didn't mean
it
that
way. Don't joke about somebody's injury.
No, I know.
No. I'm perfectly respectful. But I tell you what. You will not joke
about
an injury.
I'm sorry.
Have a blessed day. This is the last time I'm on this radio station.
Akeem, are you serious?
He's serious.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, that's a weekly paid appearance.
Did he ever apologize for this? I was looking for
No, they actually started going after each other on Twitter afterwards.
What is Akeem Hicks? Is he the dumbest person alive? Like, does he have zero sense of humor?
That would be Josh Shaw.
What the hell was that? How did he get offended at that?
Yeah, Siri just heard Siri's me say dumbest person alive and then start talking to me. Siri's like,
Did Siri Google that? Did it come up with Akeem Hicks?
No.
Dude, how sensitive are you? The guy was supporting your argument.
Right.
He was saying, oh, you mean you didn't intentionally go out and get hurt? Yeah. He's going to get all sensitive like you made a cancer joke or something. Dude, it's an orthopedic injury. For the life of me, I've never understood guys getting sensitive about orthopedic injuries. Akeem Hicks, do you have any sense of actually like what matters in life or not? And he was actually supporting you? That guy was supporting you. I've had over a dozen orthopedic injuries, and frankly, it never bothered me all that much because you know why? Because it wasn't cancer.
Right.
It's
part of the job.
Yeah, it's part of the job. I mean, obviously, it bothers you. You get upset that you're out for the season and everything. Yeah. But the guy, so Waddle, who's a former NFL player, is supporting you, and you're going to go hissy fit like that. I think he definitely was so angry and keyed up in that moment that he didn't understand the context that Waddle was using. But then they went after him afterwards on social media. That's where it goes into willful ignorance at that point.
Because you've had a chance to probably think about what was said, maybe even re-listen to it.
Yeah.
And that Akeem Hicks had time to think about it and sort of settle down a little bit. And he's still like, you know, these guys, blah, blah, blah.
Can't believe you're making light of an injury.
Right.
What did he do? Did he dislocate his shoulder or his elbow?
It sounded like his elbow. It sounded like his elbow got popped out of joint.
It's a gruesome injury.
It sounds very painful.
Yeah. I think we should make fun of Akeem Hicks' injury every day on this on this program, right?
that sounds good.
I think Akeem Hicks' problem is he's not tough enough. Yeah.
Yeah. How many Akeem Hicks does it take to pop an elbow?
You can't take a joke that somebody's actually making in support of you, how can your elbow withstand the rigors of the NFL?
It did make me wonder, like, okay, what could possibly be said on our show where that would happen? And it made me wonder that if you had asked Akeem Hicks if Khalil Mack was the Fidel Castro of the Bears defense, what would have happened?
See, there was a situation where we had
John Weeks.
John Weeks.
John Weeks didn't hang up either. He awkwardly chuckled and then quickly pivoted the conversation to the reason he was on with us.
John Weeks had this moment where he's like, I know Seth, and like John and I like each other.
Right.
John's like, I know Seth, and I know Seth just made a Fidel Castro joke, and I am here doing a Veterans Day promotion.
That's what it was.
I'm just going to go ahead and just move on.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what jokes Seth is making, but I'm not gonna dip my toes in those waters.
That was smart of John Weeks to do that,
especially because and he transitioned very smoothly into making me feel guilty because it was a Veterans Day.
He did. The question, because we were talking about Pat McAfee,
right?
And Weeks even made the point, like, yeah, McAfee's kind of getting some shine for us specialists, you know, because he's a punter, a former punter, and so you got the punters and the long snappers and the kickers that all sort of hang out together, like they've got their own island that they've been put on over off to the side from everybody, even though they're all, most of them seem to be cool guys like John Weeks, and he was saying, yeah, like, Pat McAfee, this is cool, like, this his star rising at ESPN is really, really good for us, you know, it's almost like he's this, you know, the shining beacon, if you will, for these specialists, to which Seth said he's almost like your Fidel Castro.
Yeah, but there's more to it than that. There was some reason, I can't remember why I did a Fidel Castro.
Well, then you followed up with, John, I just need you to say that Pat McAfee is basically Fidel Castro.
That's right.
And that's where it got a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, I wasn't uncomfortable at all.
No, I know.
Yeah. I think a lot of our listeners are like, wow, Seth, that was awkward. I'm like, it was?
I think in this case, if we're playing Mad Libs, the mere mention of Fidel Castro to listeners who got uncomfortable was the same as the mere mention of an elbow dislocation was to Akeem Hicks. He just heard about his injury. He heard someone talking about his injury blended into a joke that was not a personal joke towards him or any sort of thing like saying, like, we're glad you're injured. He just heard his injury mentioned in a jokey kind of way, yeah. And then that was
and
it.
And he just jumped to conclusions. It was, I'm gonna put this in my calendar right now for after the show. I got to call that? John Weeks because I want to do a podcast with John Weeks. And also, and I've got lunch with Garrett, the former web guy that I didn't even know about.
Today?
This is the benefit of looking at your calendar once every 10 days.
I know, yeah. I need to do that more. Just check and make sure at the beginning of each day, like, okay, I got to
mail
sure.
the wedding invitations, perhaps?
Yes! Yeah. Thank you, Seth. Yeah. Mail the wedding invitations. Let's do some headlines.
Shotgun snap, drops back three, winds up, long arching spiral down the near side, over the shoulder catch, Moore at the 25, down the 20, the 10, chased into the end zone, touchdown Seattle.
That was a Russell Wilson touchdown pass in a game where the Seattle Seahawks, I believe that touchdown put them up 34-17. They took a 34-17 lead in the fourth quarter of this game. Against the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings came roaring back with a couple of touchdowns of their own in the fourth quarter. Alas, it was not enough. Kirk Cousins turns the ball over on downs to close out the game, and the Seahawks beat the Vikings in the battle of what going into that game, Seth, was the 5 and 6 seed in the NFC. The NFC pretty stout right now. When those are your 5 and 6 seeds, the Seahawks and the Vikings. Seahawks win 34-30 last night. They move all the way up to the 2 seed in the NFC thanks to that win.
There was something about this victory by the Seahawks that made me feel better, even better, about the Texans' victory over the Patriots, and it was this. The Seahawks had been ravaged by the flu this past week as well, much like the Patriots. The Seahawks didn't use it as an excuse.
No, they went out and won.
Right, right. They didn't. They weren't feeling sorry for themselves or anything. Right. So likewise, I don't think the Patriots were feeling sorry for themselves. And I think that it makes me feel more like, all right, yeah, you know what? Those are two quality football teams battling last night. The Seahawks managed to win in a pretty convincing fashion, even though it got interesting late. Despite their struggles with the flu. So, in the back of my mind, I'm still wanting to know, all right, how much did the flu really affect the Patriots in that game? This makes me feel a little bit better that it shouldn't have.
Okay, yeah. Okay, good. There you go. Yeah, Seahawks-Vikings, 34-30, Monday Night Football. And Russell Wilson was mic'd up. If you're trying to, if you're finding a reason to dislike Russell Wilson, go find the NFL Films video of him mic'd up last night.
Does it make you dislike him, or does it just make you feel like, Russell Wilson's not quite my kind of guy? It
makes me dislike him. Because yeah, really? I went in with a preconceived dislike for Russell Wilson.
Oh, okay.
Wilson.
So just that. It
all this stuff with
it.
Sierra. Yeah. Oh, just like laying in bed announcing his new contract with Sierra.
Yeah.
It's a little much.
Yeah.
It's just he's just a little much. That's
it
all
it feels
I'll
like
say.
Everything's an act with
yeah.
him.
Yes, yes. Shifting gears, the Rockets and Spurs play tonight. I didn't realize, did I see this right? This is one of those things I have to double check. Are the Spurs 7-14 this year? Are the Spurs really terrible? Like, admittedly, I am not into dive into NBA headfirst mode yet. I watch plenty of games, drop the occasional wager on a game here and there. But yeah, there they are, the San Antonio Spurs 7-14, sitting at 12th place in the Western Conference. That just looks weird. But the Rockets are traveling to San Antonio tonight, Seth, to take on the San Antonio Spurs.
The Kawhi Leonard departure and everything that happened because of it, and, you know, Michelle Beadle acting like Kawhi Leonard was the worst person on earth, all that.
Yes.
I can't imagine a
the
more...
Beadle karma.
A more unexpected hatred of a player than the Kawhi Leonard hatred in San Antonio. You know, if you told me 2 years ago, hey, by the way, 2 years from now, people are going to despise Kawhi Leonard and blame him for all their problems and woes and everything, I wouldn't have believed you.
I think a lot of it has to do with his last season there, him only playing a handful of games, and then they feel like he faked his
injury. I mean, I know, but I just wouldn't have foreseen it.
The guy was a finals MVP for him. You're right.
And so maybe, hey, Popovich, maybe, you know, back off a little bit every now and then. Maybe act like your star player isn't faking his injury.
Yeah.
That's a big guy. Like, I can't excuse, as great as Popovich is and whatnot, I can't excuse the fact that that team acted like they sure made it easy to believe that Kawhi Leonard was faking his injury that
year.
They did.
By the way, Carmelo Anthony, Western Conference Player of the Week. What kind of odds would you have gotten on Carmelo Anthony being on an NBA team, let alone winning Player of the Week for the Western Conference?
Well, I think I can speak for everybody when, boy, nobody could be happier for Carmelo Anthony because he's just, everybody loves him.
Josh Shaw had it in a parlay that he was going to win Western Conference Player of the Week. Final headline here, Chris Peterson, head coach at the University of Washington, stepping down as the head coach. He was in the playoffs just a couple of years ago at Washington. Disappointing season this year, 7-5. Chris Peterson, a former Bear Bryant Award winner when he was at Boise State. His defensive coordinator is going to be taking over there. Guy's last name is Lake. He's just signed a 5-year deal to take over. So there is a succession plan in place. This will not be a job that triggers all sorts of ripple effects that are going to affect other programs. But Chris Peterson, one of the better college football coaches over the last few years, stepping down for, he said, not health reasons, no family reasons, just need to recharge the batteries a little bit.
He's stepping into an administrative role,
yeah,
which is always interesting. There's always a little bit of, I don't like it when guys quit their job and step into an administrative role.
Do you basically think he's just playing golf every day?
Well, no. I think that 3 games into next year, if there's any difficulty at all of a sudden his administrative role becomes second guessing his successor. It's one thing when Bill Walsh is doing it at Stanford or something.
Right.
It's different when you haven't actually accomplished that much as a coach, as a head coach. I don't know what this means. I'd be uncomfortable with the whole situation of our Washington fan.
Well, that's the head coaching crazy season is probably like a week or two away. It's right, you think, Jonesy, like right about now?
There was a fake report that Mike Leach had taken the job at Ole Miss yesterday.
I fake love
there
that.
Somebody did a great job of photoshopping. You know, it was a black and white picture of Leach with his signature on top of it saying Mike Leach, Ole Miss head football coach.
Right.
And but the link went straight to a Washington State message board, I think, instead of an actual article.
Okay. Yeah. I'll say this. The schools in that SEC West, like Ole Miss and Mississippi State, Arkansas, the ones that aren't LSU, Auburn, or Alabama, A&M is stuck with Fisher for the next 10 years, so that is what it is. But those other schools, Mike Leach would be a great hire. You got to do something that's a little outside the box, a little unconventional. And even saying Leach is unconventional isn't even – like, he's not even that unconventional anymore with his offense. A lot of teams are running his offense. He's more unconventional in terms of that personality in that division.
Yeah. You know who he is now? He's Jim Rome. You know, like now you'll listen to Jim Rome and you'll be like, ugh, just sounds like another Jim Rome imitator. This is because everybody imitated Jim Rome forever.
Yeah.
And then when you listen to Jim Rome, it's kind of, he loses some of his charm because there's so many people that sound like Jim Rome. Mike Leach now is that same guy. His electricity as an offensive coordinator isn't quite there anymore because everybody's doing Mike Leach stuff.
That's an interesting theory. Jim Rome, Mike Leach theory. That's an interesting theory.
Colin Cowherd. I listen to Colin Cowherd and it's hard to appreciate Colin Cowherd sometimes because there's so many Colin Cowherd imitators.
Yes.
Then it makes Colin Cowherd sound a little worn out and played.
That's an even better analogy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.